You're now diving into the fish tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Seth. OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Golf fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank.
Welcome back to the Fish Tank, presented by iHeartRadio, right here on the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network. Seth Levitt and my main man, OJ McDuffie. Juice, you are looking well rested. You were looking like, you know, you had the vacation of a lifetime. And we're ready to dive in the tank again with a special guest.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was on vacation, man. And I know you was putting that work in, Big Seth, while I was vacation.
Living the dream. Everyone said, oh, did you go on the cruise? I'm like, somebody had to work up in here.
I said that too on the cruise. They're asking about you. I said the same thing. But I'm going to tell you this, though. I'd be lying if I would say we weren't working on that cruise, right, man. They put us to work on that. It was work.
But it was fun, though. It was fun work, though. It was fun, man. Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it. You know,
yeah, we could have traded places.
We worked our butt off, you know, right, for that 7 days. But I enjoyed every minute of it, though.
Well, who's that? Who's that we're talking to, Big Seth?
Well, that's right. He just jumped right in. As if... Well, at this point, I think if people clicked play, they know who it is. And they certainly will recognize that voice. But one of the all-time Fish Tank greats, who also happens to be an all-time Miami Dolphin great, Mark Clayton, diving back into the tank. How you feeling, Mark?
I feel wonderful, man. I'm blessed, you know, just glad to be in the tank with you guys. I was saying earlier, man, it's been a minute since I've been in the tank, man. I had so much fun, man. Y'all just don't take so long to get me back in there this time.
You okay? That's right. You don't want to be on the four-year plan? Yeah, it has been a minute. So, I mean, think about it. It was December of 2018, Juice. I think it was like the day after your birthday or something. I have to go back and look at the exact date. Close, but it was December of 2018, more than 4 years since Mark first was on this show. I, you know, tried to do a little prep, even though I know we gave you about 6 hours notice to come on the show. But I tried to do a little prep. I listened back to the first episode, and it was a blast. We had a great time. I can't wait to see what happens today. But while it's been 4 years since you and I've seen each other and you've been in the fish tank, you just spent a whole damn week at sea with my partner here, as we were just alluding to. So you guys got to see plenty of each other. It's almost like you never left
each
other.
That's true, though. Anytime, man, I can be in the presence of that man right there, man. It's always a great time, man. It's like my brother, man. And we're going to make it do what it do.
Yeah. You know what's so crazy about Clayton and I, and I think we've talked about it before, man. You would have thought that me and Clayton played together, you know, knew each other forever, man. But that's how it's been, man. Since I met him personally, man, we've been so cool and so tight, man. You know, just a good dude, man. Good brother, man. Obviously a Dolphin great, man. But so much fun to be around. Clayton is Clayton, you know. I was on Big this morning, and we were doing an interview with Paul Castronovo. And he said Clayton is the same Clayton. He walked around in shades the whole time, Big Seth, you know, just like he wore inside his helmet. You know what I mean? Cool as hell with a stogie that wasn't lit. You know what I mean? He was doing his thing the whole time, bro. It was outstanding, man.
Yeah, I need to hear more about this cruise. So tell me what that was like to spend a week with you guys just kind of running together for an entire week. Well, how was that?
It was strictly for the fans. That's why it was called the Dolphins Fan Cruise. So you know what, though? Yeah. I try to put myself in those fans' shoes, man, because I know if I was just a fan and I had the opportunity and the pleasure of rubbing elbows with some people that I cheered for and looked at throughout their careers, man, so I would be elated just to be up in close quarters with those guys. So the alumni, man, I'm so proud of the guys that we went with, man. We stepped up to the plate, man. We hit it out of the park, man, and it just goes to show you that the character of the fellas that come through that Dolphin organization. And we had so much fun, man. And I'd do it again. As one of the guys that really didn't want to go on the cruise, I was the last guys to commit to this cruise, man. I'm so glad that I went on this cruise, man, because I had a blast and didn't worry about the 7 days that I was worrying about being on that cruise ship. It really didn't seem like 7 days. The time really just flew by so fast, man. We were having so much fun with each other and the fans.
Was that the hesitation, Mark, that you didn't want to be, you know, spend an entire week at sea? Mm-hmm. Like, what was
the hesitation? Well, the hesitation was this was my third cruise I've been on. The other two were 7 days. You know, I'd already knew going into the cruise that I wasn't a fan of 7 days. I think that's just 3 days too long.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You might not have liked 7 days. Sorry, Juice. I was going to say he didn't, might not have liked 7 days on cruises before, but he wasn't with you. You know, so.
That's true. And then got to see one day perform that karaoke, boy. He brought the house.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I didn't hear about this.
Yes, he brought the house down, boy. Living La Vida Loca. That's what we were doing, boy.
I had no idea. Yes.
See, okay. I kept that from my partner, Clayton. See,
man, that's part of the fun that we had, man. I got to share it with the people and Seth, you know, let them know what kind of fun and particular fun that we were having. And I even had to. Audacity to get up there and do karaoke too in front of all the people.
That's right. I'm about to say, what about you, dog?
Man, the reason why I was able to do that because my wife and I we hosted Christmas with the family and friends here this past Christmas and we had karaoke was part of it. So and man, these guys are hard, tough critics, man. And I felt like that, man, if I could get up there in front of these people right here and they don't just kill me, I can get in front of this 300-400 people that don't really know me personally like my family and friends do. I'm not gonna even see them again. So hey, plus a little couple cocktails, man. You know, that liquid courage, man, it doesn't hurt either.
That's right. And you know, Clay, I snuck off and did another karaoke later in the week. So I was
Chase,
in that mode
knew?
At that point, bro.
Yeah, man.
Nice, nice. Because they did have karaoke on the ship every night, I think, in different parts of the ship.
They did. Uptown Lounge. I was in the Uptown Lounge getting my karaoke on, bro.
So did you have a go-to song, Juice? Like, what was your – was it the same song every time?
Well, I was just – Living La Vida Loca was my – that's my go-to song all day, every day. You know what I mean? And it was – that was in front of all the Dolph fans, man. And Clayton got up there before me, so it helped me out, man. You know, I was sitting there getting my courage up like he's talking about. What'd you do? Ladies' night. Yeah, he did ladies' night, and he killed it. Yeah, it was.
But that's not my go-to song. My go-to song is Tupac, but they didn't have any Pac over there, so
they didn't have any Pac over there.
So I couldn't really do my.
Yeah, they were keeping it PG-13. They were keeping it PG-13 on the ship.
I'm going to keep that in mind if we do the fish tank karaoke party. We'll make sure we got some Pac.
That's right. And, you know, Mark, not only did we spend you know the whole week with 700 amazing fans, man, but you know we also celebrated your birthday not once, not I don't know how many times we did, but you know, talk about how it was to have so many of your former teammates and friends and family. At your birthday,
oh man! I you know what though? I didn't know what Nat had up his sleeve at any point in time. He kept saying because one of the hesitations about me really going on the cruise because I said I'm going to be on there. It entailed being on there on my birthday. I said I don't know if I want to be on the cruise on my birthday, right? He said, "Come on, just go. We're going to make it nice. We're going to make it special for you." And that he did the first night with my guys and. Me, you know, I was like, wow, you know, and I was going to go outside and smoke a cigar and Sean Wood could say, come on, bring your butt inside. I said, man, I'm not obligated to go inside there now, man. I'm going to stay out here and smoke my cigar right here. He said, come on, you going inside. I said, okay, man, come on, let's go inside. So they kind of shocked me right there because that was like on a Tuesday and my birthday was Saturday.
Yeah.
Right. So, one good thing there, Danny was still there with us and stuff. So, that was really good to see all my friends right there, celebrating my birthday. And then Saturday, that really shocked me right there. I was definitely surprised. I'm like, okay, we already did the birthday thing. I thought we were going to go to the Uptown room just to be with each other. Like that was probably the first and only time that we was in the room without the fans and just us, the players and stuff. So I felt like that, hey, we're going to have a few hours with each other. So, you know, I was really shocked when I walked in the room and stuff and everybody's already in there and they come out surprised, the cake. I was like, oh man, another party. You said, yeah, I'm the only person he knows that can celebrate a birthday twice in 1 week.
Oh, listen, I mean, you're not the only person because he knows himself too, and he used to have a birthday week. Okay?
Well,
you know, I don't know if you've grown out.
Well,
of that
my wife says she has a birthday month. Week. My wife feels like she gets a month. That's okay.
And let me tell you this too, Big Seth. You know, with the birthday thing, everybody. So here's the thing with the cruise: everybody had their own itinerary. because everybody had different appearances they had to do. On the itineraries, it was like surprise birthday party for Mark Clayton. But it wasn't on his, obviously. Sure, you know what I mean?
I hope
so,
not.
So yeah. Mom was the word, right? But Marino, I heard, spoiled the surprise at one point, man. Is that true?
He said,
oh, hell, man, I didn't know it was a surprise. So, of course, he probably wasn't reading his damn itinerary. He was just, you know, showing up. He didn't ruin it, did he, Mark?
If he did, I must not have been paying attention to him.
There we go. Okay,
I didn't know nothing about it.
Some things never change.
I was not paying attention to him. Because we were talking and stuff. He may have said something, but, you know, that was one of the probably times I really wasn't paying.
You still don't listen to Marino, man? No. You still
don't listen to him? I love it. Oh, that's too funny. All right. We're going to shift gears off this cruise. We're going to dock this thing. And listen, you can't – it's very difficult to say Mark Clayton without Mark Duper, Mark Duper without Mark Clayton. You guys, you'll be linked together for all of time, really, certainly in Dolphin fans' minds, because of the work that you did on the field, because of what you meant to Danny and his career, because of what you meant to this fan base. How often do you guys still talk now? Because, you know, for fans, all we know is what we saw. We saw 83 out there, 85 out there, all these great pictures of you guys together. But at this stage of your lives, how often do you guys actually get a chance to get together? Because I know Dupe was also on the cruise. Mm-hmm. What is it like now when Mark Duper and Mark Clayton get together? What is that like compared to when Duper and Clayton got together in the mid-80s?
Well, it's a little more calmer now. Yeah. You know, you kind of mellow more with age. But we still talk quite often, you know, at least, you know, maybe sometimes 2 times a week, maybe, you know, quite often, really. Not with Dan, not so much, because we still probably talk to him maybe once a month or something like that, because he's really busy compared to Duper and I. Yeah. I go to signings with Duper. We got another signing coming up on the 24th in Tampa. So, but we hook up quite often. It seems like that we're getting pulled out of obscurity now, you know, because these young fellas, Waddle and Hill, are waking up the ghost of past, you know.
Yeah.
So I like that attention right there. It's they're keeping our names in people's mouth when they're comparing those guys to us.
Yeah, that's a great point. That brings to my point, Big Seth and Mark, this comparison, you know, you and Dupe obviously are second to none when it comes to Dolphin duos and Dolphin receivers in the history of our organization. But they are talking about this current duo of Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. How much do you enjoy watching those guys, you know, last season? And can you tell us what stands out to you the most about each of them?
Yeah, man, I really, really enjoy those guys, man. Those guys are hard workers. But first and foremost, I had an opportunity to meet those young men a couple of times, man. They're very class young men, man. They really are, man. They know their history. They respect the history. And, man, these guys are awesome players, man. Both of these guys are hellified athletes, man. I mean, really, man. You got to they asked me about which one do I compare to my skill set or the player that I was. And I'd have to say I had to go with Waddle in that right there, because not that Tyreek, you know, is any really different, because I think Tyreek has a little bit of both of Duper and myself in it, because that damn Hill's got some shakes, some side to side.
Yeah.
You know, Duper, you know, he had little baby shakes and stuff, but this guy right here, this Hill.
Wait a minute, Mark, what's a baby shake?
You know, give you just a little.
Just little wiggle.
Just a little, yeah. But that dang on Tariq, he's like a gnat, man. He's, man. And he gets from 0 to 60 in 1 second.
Yeah.
You know, but I really thoroughly enjoy watching those guys, man. And I was there during a alumni week, and I talked to Hill in the locker room. I said, hey, man, that 1389 is sitting right there waiting on you, bro. You need to go get it, right? He said, you know what, legend? He said, man, I'd rather win than get that right there. And I totally understand, based on the fact that he came from an organization where they won the ultimate prize,
right?
So I could definitely understand that. And that's how I kind of view things, too. I didn't really value stats over wins.
Right.
Because if you get stats and you don't win, to me, they don't mean nothing.
Right.
You know, I want to win. And I'm a sore loser. I am. And I hate losing, I think, more than I like winning.
Yes, sir.
I know a few people like that. I definitely know a few people.
Oh, my God. I hate to lose.
And I would say you're not the only one on this call right now either. That is built
But
that
I guess that's the competitiveness that's within us, right?
That's right.
You know,
deep.
Juice and I got a lot more in common than just, you know, being friends and playing on the same team, man. His Miss Gloria did a great job with him, and my mom, man, we have a lot in common, man. We really do, more than people would actually even know.
That's so cool. And so now, when you talking about in common, and Juice just asked what you like about each of their games, you talked. We know he doesn't have the baby shake; he's got the full shake. When you talk about Tyreek, and so Waddle, you're saying you see more of yourself in Waddle than Tyreek. Tell us why.
Because he's not as fast as Tyreek. But he has those moves. I think he's got more moves than Tyreek.
Yeah.
So that's.
I understand they had a race, and Tyreek barely beat Waddle.
They're both fast as hell.
Yeah, they're both fast now. I'll take either one of us. They're both faster than I was.
Me too, bro. I say yeah. They asked me to compare. I can't compare with them. Yeah, no way.
Like I said, when people ask, "What's the difference?" I said, "Duke was way faster than me." I mean, he was, man, really 2 seconds faster than me. Duke ran a 4.2. The fastest I ever ran was a 4.4.
Right. 0.2, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he was moving.
Man, that's a huge difference. And like I said, man, I thoroughly like watching those young men play, man. If they can keep old number one standing up, man, I think, man, they got a hell of a career ahead of them. They've already got a good start on it already. Well, Waddle's a little younger than Hill. Hill's been in the league a few more years than Waddle, but sky's the limit for those young men, man.
That's exciting to hear, especially from someone who knows what he's talking about, Juice. That is definitely exciting
to
hear.
No doubt about it.
So let's talk, you know, you talked about how they've kind of, they've awakened the ghosts, and that now you and Duke get spoken about when they do talk about these guys, and which is really, really cool to see. And I love that you told him to go get that 1389 because he did. You know, he ran it down.
He did.
He racked up an insane, you know, 1,700 yards. 1,710, I think, was what he ended up with. But think about this. He broke that record. You know, kudos to Tyreek Hill for doing that. But your record stood for like 38 years, Mark, almost 40 years. And to watch football and see the way the game has evolved and certainly the way – whether it's the rules, the structure, the training, all of the different things that favor offensive football and throwing the ball, for that record to stand in this franchise for almost 40 years, what did that mean to you to see that record stood for so long? And then how did you feel when Tyreek Hill did surpass that number?
Well, I thought that it wouldn't stand that long for sure, based on what, you know, the way the balls are flying around today, you know, it's like, wow. And had Tua not gotten hurt, I think Tyreek maybe could have surpassed 2,000 yards this season right here. But and when he broke it, I was happy that he broke it. But it came in a loss, So I'm sure he really wasn't ready to really talk about that after the end of the game because, you know, this is a man who values wins over personal accomplishments. So I was happy for him, though, man. You know, like I said, man, I don't care anything about records. Records are made to be broken. You know, I had it. Okay. The next person, you know, it's their turn to carry the torch. At least I could say, you know, I had it. Yeah. So, hey, I'm moving on.
You definitely had it and you could say that for a long time. I mean, damn near four decades
right.
You were able to say that, which is incredible. It's all, you know, it's also interesting to me, Juice, when Mark, earlier you were saying that you kind of see more of your game in Waddle than Tyreek. And I went and looked because Waddle, you know, a guy has 1,700 yards and obviously it gets a lot of attention. But Jalen Waddle had 1,300 something yards as well. Then his season, when you compare it to your that season that you had in 84, which was incredible, but you 1389, I think he was just shy of that. The amount of catches were close. He had 18.1 yards per catch. You had 19 yards per catch. So there really were some similarities there up until you start counting touchdowns and 18
them
touchdowns.
Them up ends, boy. Them up ends, boy. Them up
that's
ends,
a whole
boy.
Other thing. Holy smokes, 18 touchdowns. That one I think is going to be safe for a little bit longer. You know, I mean, it'd be incredible.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
They do throw it around, don't they?
I'm never going to count those young men out. You know, like That's I cool. said, the sky's the limit for these guys, man. And I wouldn't be surprised if one of them would catch 20 touchdowns.
Man, Clay, I mean, they gave him an extra game. That should help them out.
That's
a little
why
bit,
20,
right?
man.
You know what I mean? But they got to, them up ends, though, man. At 18, I mean, nobody was messing with that for a long time either, man.
And look, when I got to 18, you know, that 17 was on the books for a long time.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that 18. You didn't get that in the last game, did you?
I caught three in the last in the last game of the season.
Okay. So
week 16, I caught three touchdowns in that game.
Did you and Marino collab on that? Say, look, I need to get these.
No,
I know sometimes. Look. All right, let me just stop for a second. I know sometimes I've been in a huddle.
Yeah.
And that last game is incentive day. You know what I mean? That last game,
I had no incentives for touchdown.
No, you didn't have. All right,
none. But and you know what though, and I really didn't know what the record was for touchdown catches until after the second one. Then the guy, you know, over the PA said, "I just tied the record." I said, "Oh, really?
Okay." So you heard it in the stadium. The announcement
they said
came
with
the stadium,
that touchdown.
That's how you found
out.
Wow.
That's how I knew I had tied the record then with 17. Then
wow.
Right? So I figured, hey, I won't break it. But, you know, the defense is out there. And then Don McNeil, you know, let a interception go straight through his hands. And then Tony Hill was on the sideline. And he took it, and they tied the game up.
Mm.
So we were able to, you know, had he picked that pass off, we're in victory formation, game, right. set, match.
Right.
I tied the record.
You needed all of them that game.
Then there was like a minute and something left in the game, and we drove down the field. Man, it was just that place was so loud, you know, but not as loud as that Chicago Bears game.
Though. Right.
I think that's the loudest I've ever heard the Orange Bowl ever.
Wow. That's incredible.
You know what's fun about that Chicago Bears game, real quick, Big Seth, is that hearing Zonka and those guys talk about what Mark and Danny did in that game, man. It meant the world to those guys, the 72 team. A lot of them on the sideline, but they actually talked about that a lot. Mm-hmm. And Zonk talked about it a lot, man. And he mentioned these guys, like what they were doing was, and hell, we all watched it and were witnesses, was incredible.
Well, kudos to Coach Shula, rest in peace, man. My man came up with a miraculous game plan, you know, which is something that I think they really just enabled us really to really do what we did out there. And talking about pressure, man, those guys were coming to practice all week.
Oh, so you saw them all week.
All week. And then game day, man, you was thinking they was gonna warm up and go out there. They were there in pregame before, you know, we out there stretching on their own. The first group out there, man, they were on the sideline. I was like, wow, man, these guys really want us to win this game, though. And we pulled it out, man. But I knew going into that week, man, we had such a great game plan, man. Everybody was very confident about what we could do in the game.
Yeah.
Because we know if we kept Danny vertical, their secondary was the weakest part of that
right.
defense. They had a hell of a defense now.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. Their defense was, you know, stout as they come. And we know their secondary. We could have our way with their secondary. And I was tell a little quick story. After the World Series this year, the Astros owner, he has a celebrity pro-am golf tournament, right? So he brings a lot of different guys in from all walks of the sporting world. And I was sitting out there having a cigar with Lawrence Taylor, Eric Dickerson, Thurman Thomas, and Richard Dent and myself. And so Eric is, he kind of messy brother. He said, "Hey, Richard, how about when Clayton and them tapped that ass on the Monday night?" He said, tell me how that felt right there. Y'all, we was laughing. So then he said, "That's all right. They got us and stuff." He said, "I said, you didn't want to see us. You was glad New England beat us, right? Because you didn't want to see us because you wouldn't be having that ring on your finger, right?" He said, "We were waiting on y'all. We still waiting on y'all, right?" So I said, "Okay, cool."
It's so funny. It's so funny that you talk about all those guys, man. I know one thing about all those guys is that, you know, they're in Canton. You know what I mean?
Every last one of them.
Yeah, every last one of them, man. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the elephant in the room. You know, the Hall of Fame itself, man. You know, and anyone else who listens to us knows where we stand on this subject, you know. And I know it has been a frustrating process for you yourself, but there seems to be some momentum right now, Mark, and that's been building recently. And I know you don't, you know, you're not a guy that's going to go out there and campaign for yourself or play the game that some of these people have to go out there and play, you know, and try to do for yourself. But there have been a lot of your peers, including myself, you know, stepped up, and it's time. It's time for Mark Clayton to make his forever home in Canton, man.
All those guys at the table that, you know, they were saying, man, I don't know what's wrong with these guys, man. You know, they were saying, man, you definitely belong. And all those guys at the table then wrote me a letter and vouched for me and stuff right there. So, but, man, you know what, though? I'm kind of over it and stuff, really. You know, I would relish that honor, man, you know, because I feel like I deserve it. But I'm a firm believer that I'm no different for nobody in life. Nobody gets what they deserve all the time. So, hey, I'd be a fool to think that I'm not included in that. So, hey, man, if it happens, I welcome that. I tell people all the time, if they call, I'm going to pick their phone up.
Right.
Hey.
Now they're making home visits now. They're coming for you, bro.
I'll hit that door first, you know. But, man, that's a hell of an accolade, man. I'd be honored to go to Canton, to be in Canton. I think that would be the ultimate accomplishment right there, to put the icing on the cake for my career. And, you know, like, man, if it happens, it happens. If it don't, man, I'm serious. I'm quite fine with that.
Really. Yeah, and you know, and when it does happen, you know, I know when you went there for Danny's induction, he threw that pass. You know, you proclaim, and you're a quarterback yourself with a hell of an arm. You gonna toss a pass out to somebody, maybe? You know, my hands are still good, bro.
Okay, I got you. Just as long as you're not that far, man, because this a weenie arm right here. You know, when I was playing, I could throw it a little bit, and I was telling somebody, I said, you know what, though? I threw a touchdown pass before I caught a touchdown pass.
Right, right.
Wow.
He said that. Definitely said that, man.
Mark, has there been anything, you know, you've sat here and watched the process, and now we're talking about the senior committee and that process and seeing these guys write those letters. Has there been anything about the process that has been eye-opening for you, or even has anything that has happened over the last couple of years become more encouraging? I don't know if you've spoken to any of the selectors or what have you, but has anything taken place that maybe has, I know you're saying you're at peace with whatever happens, but has there been any movement that has been more encouraging than maybe what you've seen in years prior?
Oh yes, man. My guys, Scott Stone, Scott and Armando Segura. Oh my God, man. Those guys right there, man, they really just encouraged me to keep going. Don't stop now, because they're not going to stop doing what they're doing for me, because they feel like that's something I deserve. But
yeah,
I've got a chance to meet one of the writers and stuff that lives here. And so we're going to go have lunch. He said he's got a few ideas. So right now I'm going to play the game.
Yeah.
I'm going to play the game, man. I'm not going to stop until it doesn't happen. How about that?
Well, you know, Mark, I mean, honestly, man, it's not – go ahead, Big Seth.
No, I was just going to say, I think that – I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, there's one thing to pound the table and campaign and say, hey, you know, I deserve this, and be angry at the world. And it's another thing to kind of understand the process. And look, let's be honest. If they're comparing you to numbers that guys are putting up in a different set of circumstances with more games and different rules – then I think it's important for people to be reminded about who you are, what you did, the time period that you did it in. I think that that's an important part of the process, because it becomes, you know, you've got recency bias, and it becomes more difficult for guys the further away you are from that last game that you played. So going to have lunch with a guy, or having a conversation, or jumping on the radio with someone and having them forcing them in the best of ways to go back and research and realize, like, holy shit, 18 touchdowns in 1984. Mm-hmm. That's actually pretty impressive. To me, I say it all the time. Only two guys in the history of the planet had more touchdowns than your 18. And that was Jerry Rice and Randy Moss.
Randy Moss.
So we're not talking about stiffs here. Like, we're talking about, you know, and so if those are the only two guys ever who did more, then what are we talking about here? But I don't want to turn this into a whole conversation about it. We did that in the last one, and I kind of lost it a little and broke out my Excel spreadsheet and everything else.
You did. Right. You had a, but I say all the time, Seth, people lie, numbers don't.
Yeah. Right.
But you know what though, what I've really come to my conclusion about this whole process is, I'm a firm believer. It's not about the numbers, because if it was about the numbers, I would have been in there a long time ago.
Mm,
yeah. And there's another thing that I came to the conclusion with, that I just got to accept the fact that there's no criteria, so they can do whatever they want whenever they want.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting, there's definitely, I don't know if arbitrary is the right word, but you know, it's subjective for sure.
It is
definitely very subjective.
It's a big word. That arbitrary is a big word, like mayonnaise.
Yeah. Stuff. That's why I threw it out. I moved on to subjective.
Yeah, that is a big word, like mayonnaise. Long word too.
Good Lord, I like that. Good. You know, Clayton, man, speaking of Hall of Fame, you know, we just had Zach Thomas in the tank.
Kudos and, to Zach.
One of the things that, yeah, big Zach, man, it was finally too. But that's like, you know, and you know, I said it on the cruise ship. When I was talking about you, I was talking about a lot of guys on that team that played for the Dolphins that need to be in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had Richmond on the cruise. Mm-hmm. We talked about Cooch, you know, yourself. Yeah. But so what I was getting to, though, is like, you know, we asked Zach, you know, we told Zach what our signature moment was for Zach. You know, when we knew that, you know, this dude was going to be something special, you know, and it really stood out for us. And the question honestly got me thinking about, you know, my own career and thinking about what was interesting for people when I was coming out and what play did they think was my signature moment, what they remember was my signature moment, you know, compared to what moment stands out in my own mind. So with that being said, I want to see what stood out in Mark Clayton's mind that was his signature moment in the NFL.
Oh, man. My signature moment was when I made the team as an eighth round draft choice.
Okay.
Because I was like, man, I made this team. But, you know, I wasn't surprised based on the fact that, you know, when I first made the team, the reporters was, you know, around my locker talking to me about, hey, you know, made it. They said, you know, they asked me, was this your dream growing up? I said, no. You know, I didn't think about playing. I was a huge NFL fan from going back watching John Hadle, Fred Biletnikoff, man. I go way back, man, with the fearsome foursome, man. I mean, really, I was a huge NFL fan. But I never dreamt that I would ever play in the NFL.
Hmm.
And they also asked me, are you surprised? No. I was not surprised that I made the team. They asked me, why not? I said, man, I worked my butt off. Shit, that's why. Man, I worked my ass off. I said, when you work your ass off, you expect things to happen. When you don't work your ass off, then you're surprised that shit happens.
I like that.
That makes sense. Juice, let's not forget, Mark thought he was a first-round talent. He watched the first round waiting for his name to be called.
I did. I did. Back. You know, man, because I'm thinking like, man, I'm dang on second in the nation right here in these yards. I'm averaging almost 20. I averaged 21 yards a catch in college. Man, hell yeah, I thought I was a first round.
Right. So is he surprised? No, I'm not. The only thing surprising to me is I didn't go to the eighth damn round.
That's right.
That's great. So that's your signature moment was when you made the team.
Was making the team.
Come on, Mark. All these plays making you the made, team, 80 man. Something touchdowns.
But hold on, but then that was the moment right there. You know, hey, but you can't have other signatures if you're not on that team, Seth.
Huh? So I'm
making the team first, but then as far as I played, that I really felt like that was my signature play. I'd have to say I really didn't think any of the 18 really was, you know, my signature. But that first playoff game, we played Seattle, right? And those guys was talking all kind of trash. You know, they was trying to chump me, thought I was going to bow down to them because they was bigger than me because, you know, and one touchdown that in the corner, right corner of the dang old end zone, dude thought he was great picking. I went between his arm, I tipped it out of his hand, and it was right there, just barely stayed in the end zone. I said, oh, man, what? I started to spike it. I said, no. This was a hell of a play. And I could tell that that really got up under those guys' skin, because after the game, they was, you know, I saw an article, and they was asking those DBs about going against Duper and myself right there. And they were saying, that damn Clayton just runs his damn mouth too much. He talks too much. They say he's good, but he just talks too much trash out there. Man, they wasn't telling them the trash that they talk. That they make me talk the trash. I didn't go out there talking it until they start talking it to me, you know. And they wasn't going to shut me up once I started talking, because I was going to keep beating their ass, and I was going to shut them up by beating their ass.
We're going to so talk that's more how you about do it. That too.
That's right.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So that kind of makes me think about. I'm going off script here, Juice, but one of my moments that stands out from one of Mark's moments that stands out in my mind. And you talk about like that contested, you know, tipping the ball up. Actually, there's two of them. There's the tipped ball in that 85 Bears game. There's mm-hmm. the tipped ball touchdown. It was like, man, everything was going our way. And so that one mm-hmm. jumps out at me, Mark. And mm-hmm. then the other one was Kansas City, you know, where you caught that one. That,
Albert Lewis.
Yeah. That one was like, man, that was
game of inches.
Oh, my goodness.
Game of inches. He was right there. He read the play. He's everything. He was this close to picking that pass off.
Yeah, but he didn't.
And then I got another one of my catches that I really, really enjoyed was we were playing the Bears again in Chicago. It was cold as hell. They were kicking our ass. And then at the end of the game, we blocked the punt and stuff. So we end up going into overtime. I said, listen, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to catch a bomb right here, and I'm going to run. We were going towards our locker room right there. I said, I'm going to catch this deep pass on them, because they had Donnell Wolford and old sorry ass. Well, not sorry. This is my boy here, Lemuel Stinson. He talks a lot of shit to me here, talking about how he got one interception with off of Dan. I'll pick. I said, is that your crowning moment of your career? You call what you had, all of 5-6 interceptions, and that was your one? Okay. I said, yeah, you. He said, and look, and he was covering me when I didn't know the play. You know, I couldn't hear the play. He audible and stuff, and Dan threw it right to him. I said, oh, man, you better have intercepted that, because, right. Hey, he threw it right to you. But the pass at the end of the game in overtime, well, it was in overtime, and Dan, I was beating a guy. I said, it's going to work out just like I thought it would. Then that wind blew, and it started knocking the ball down, and the field was kind of slippery because it had been snowing there.
Oh, this
and one. I slipped and fell on my back trying to stop and put the brakes on, and I just stick one my left arm out. And all of a sudden, I say, man, it just hit my arm, and I just cradled it, that one hand on my back. I said, boy, you all right, boy. You pretty good there.
I remember that one, too. No, that was an unbelievable play. But I think somebody asked Danny, you know, and he said, oh, yeah, it's pretty hard to hit a guy laying on the ground. So he tried to take credit for it. That yeah. shows how good he was that he could hit a guy laying on the ground. Meanwhile,
but he said he could throw it through a hurricane, so I expected the ball to be right there.
Right.
In stride. But that wind said, no, no, no.
Not that hurricane. That is not too that funny. One. Good stuff, man. Oh, God, some great moments to relive for sure.
For
all right, so Mark, we have seen, as we're talking about all this stuff, we have seen you dominate the two-minute drill on the field probably more than once or twice in your career. But now it's the time in our show. We didn't have this back in 2018, but in the evolution of the Fish Tank, we have our own two-minute drill. So okay. We're going to put 2 minutes up on the clock. I'm going to see if I can figure this out without DJ Preach here. I think, okay, there's my, oh, it started. All right, let me back that up. Let me back up the 2 minutes. But we're going to run 2 minutes here. We're going to fire off a few questions and see if we can get through this thing and score a touchdown like you've done okay. 80-plus times
do
in
it.
Your career. All right, Juice, I'm going to start it now. It looks like we got, oh, there's the full 2 minutes. Here we go.
All right, Tyreek Hill is the cheetah. Jalen Waddle is the penguin. Duper is super. What would your nickname be in this offense?
Make plays.
Make plays your nickname. All right. The playmaker. It can't be playmaker.
It can't be playmaker. Make plays.
Make plays. All right. We'll go with make plays. I'll take it for sure. Okay. You mentioned it earlier at the top of the show, the Domino's app. Let's talk Domino's. You both had the app on your phone. Who was better, you or Juice?
Well, we kind of got, we're splitting it down the middle. Juice just takes too damn long to play. Juice gets distracted.
Oh, and then, you know,
and he takes forever. So we're playing three games at one time, all of us. Me, Juice, TK, and Duke. All four of us are playing each other individually. But it seemed like, you know, they can't get back to me once they play somewhere else. It takes them 2 days to come back and play.
2 days?
So, oh, Big Seth.
Juice, we need to get the timer on you.
Can we get a timeout? We need a timeout, Big
Seth. All right, we got a timeout. Hold on.
We got a timeout, Big Seth. He's so funny about that, Big Seth, because, you know, he don't play sometimes. And then when he plays, he expects you to play right away. You wait on him, and then he's like, then he'll text you, man, hurry up and play. You know what I mean? Like, yo, man, I don't even have my phone with me and stuff. He's the worst when it comes to that.
Oh,
he
my
was
God.
He was whooping my tail early, man, and talking mad.
Oh,
crap.
My God. But the last game we played, man, and he had all those damn sixes or whatever, ones or whatever, and he made me go get them all, and he's sitting over there with the last one in his hands, man. He got about 110 out of my hand. I told my son, this game, he was watching me play. I said, this game's over right here. I said, man.
He was quick. He was quick to move on that one, Mark.
He was. Then I texted him in game. I said, Juice, the hell with you, man. You know, I thought you was my boy, man. I see you over there. I know he was skinning and grinning right there, man.
That's great. You talked about loving to watch Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle play. But what would Mark Clayton do in Mike McDaniel's offense?
Oh, man, with the freedom that they have now to come off the line, and they can got to really take their hands off you after 5 yards. I mean, man, shoot, man, I think I would put up some astronomical numbers, man, in Mike McDaniel's offense, man, because, man, that dude's a smart young man, man. Like I said, I didn't think he was the coach for the Dolphins when they hired him, when I got a chance to sit down with him and talk to him. And so we sat down and talked to him for about maybe almost 2.5-3 hours.
Oh,
so
wow.
Just he, myself, and Danny, and little Mark was sitting over there in the corner listening to us. So I finished it up like this. I said, hey, coach, you know what, though? When they hired you, I was scratching my head. I couldn't believe why they hired you, right? He looked at me like, really? I said, yeah, really. I said, but after sitting here talking to you, I can see why they hired you. Great choice. I finally think they got their man.
Yes, sir. Mm.
How about yes, that?
We feel the same way. Yeah, we feel the same way.
They got their man now.
And I would say that's scoring a touchdown on a 2-minute drill right there, Juice.
Yeah, 1,000%. Score it. Score it. Clock it.
Good.
Clock it.
Send it in.
Send it in.
Too good. Hey, well, Mark, I'm sorry that I missed all 16 of your birthday celebrations. So first and foremost, happy birthday from all of us at the Fish Tank, not just my partner here, Juice. But more than anything, thank you for diving back in the tank. I can't believe it's been 4 years, and we'll make sure that it won't be another 4 to get you back in.
Thank you. Thank you. Please. If not, man, I got your number, and I got you something to say, man.
You do.
Hey, man, got to get back into that tank, bro. What's up,
That's
man?
Right.
Squeeze me in there.
We're going to have the Hall of Fame edition.
That'd be the one. Yeah, well, at that point, we'll be chasing him down. You know,
that's right. Juice. You know, he'd be too busy for us. Yeah.
Come on, Juice. You my boy. You know, I'm never too busy for you. I would never be. Just like I told Joe, people was asking me, say, hey, when you going on the radio show? I said, anytime Joe calls me, I'm available for Joe. Anytime Joe wants me on the radio, he can get me on the radio. So it's not me.
So good, Clayton, man. So good, Clayton. Hey, man, thanks for diving in, bro.
Hey, man, I appreciate you guys, man. Love you guys, man. Y'all the best, bro.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Dive up in that fish tank. Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living. Seth. OJ. Juice, man. Ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, Dolphins. Number one, of course, y'all. This ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank. Rocking with OJ and Seth when we dive up in that fish tank. Dolphins with attitude. We got to dive up in that fish tank. Celebrate big or cry hard.
Leave it all on the field, we gon' try hard. Old school, a new school, mix it in. Feeling like we up close when we listening. Dolphins tails in Miami is the deep end. We vibing with our favorite players, no secret. We get with Seth and McDuffie, bringing up stars we never heard to the public. Bet we love it, Dolphins fans never budging. We loyal to the team, whether happy or we upset. We be like, what's next? Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fins. And if you ready for that water, time to dive in. Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fins. And if you down with Dolphins Nation, time to dive in. Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fins. You looking at that fish tank, it's time to dive in. Fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank. Rapping with OJ and Seth, time to dive up in that fish tank. Dog fans were at a talk, we about to dive up in that fish tank.